Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and today's show, Blessings with Celine. Celine is a grief coach and an angel intuitive who, after experiencing the personal loss of a child, restored her life by receiving and accepting loving messages from spirit. She brings her guidance, experiences, and spiritual approach to those parents who are grieving and strives to help them nurture their connection to their child, to God, and to the angelic realm. She is the author of Not Your Usual Grief Book, How to Heal While Connecting with Your Child Who Died, in the hopes of spreading her messages of healing and love to all those who need it. So without further ado, I would like to welcome your host, Celine Negrette.
Thank you, Courtney. And I'm so very excited to be talking with you today about something that's very important and that I found very important to realize during my own experience of grief, during my own journey of grief. So today I'm talking about the mind's role when we're grieving, and I'm sharing some of the ways in which we can help ourselves. I'm inviting grieving parents, but also anyone who has suffered the loss of a loved one, to join me as I delve deeper into the steps that we can take to master our minds so that we can experience less suffering and more peace. And don't we all want some of that, especially when we're grieving? Don't you agree? So if you're a bereaved parent, you know the gut-wrenching pain that does not go away and that it comes in waves. You know about all those times when you feel that it's not going to be possible to go on. There's no way you're going to be able to take another step to get out of bed. And the times when you feel that your heart just cannot take any more pain, because not only are you grieving for the loss of your child or your friend, of your spouse, of your sister, but your pain is exacerbated by the accumulated disappointments from friends or family members, not understanding your experience, and possibly, just possibly, making insensitive comments. I know firsthand what it is like, just because I experienced some of these after I lost my son Christopher at age 8 from leukemia. And that happened 21 years ago, and even though it has been such a long time, I can say to you that I won't stop grieving until I die. However, what I'm here to tell you today is that we don't need to allow grief to stop our lives in mid-swing. No, instead, we have other options. We can choose to go within to find out what is going on inside our minds first so that we can do something to help ourselves feel better. So one of the things I would like to point out is that whether we want to accept it or not, the thoughts that we hold in our minds have the power to affect the way that we feel. So how does this relate to your grief? Well, if when you had just stopped crying after having had a painful wave of sadness hit you, you stop for a minute to think about the thoughts that were going through your mind when you started crying, these can guide you. Now, of course, you're going to find that you were thinking of your child or your loved one, that you were missing them terribly. But what if you found an outlet for those thoughts, such as writing letters? You can be crying while you're doing that, but spilling out all of your feelings, all of your sadness, all of your pain in those letters until you found that there was nothing else to say. And then after you do that, burn the letter. Now, why am I suggesting this? Burn the letter. Well, because there is power. There is incredible power in rituals. There is healing in rituals. And don't you agree that as bereaved parents, we need healing? For sure. Our hearts are bruised beyond recognition. We are in need of major healing. Therefore, every time that we're hit by one of those waves of sadness and despair, let's have pen and paper in hand in order to let all those feelings out. And when done, let's burn each letter and watch it do so. If we do this every time, what will happen is that we will begin to feel slowly but surely a release of the relentless hold that grief has over you. And that, my friend, is the power of symbolic ritual. I'm sure that many of you who are listening in have heard or are familiar with Louise Hay. She passed away recently, and she was a pioneer in the field of healing through taking control over our thoughts and the thoughts that we shower our minds with. And she's the author of the book, You Can Heal Your Life, and many other books. But her messages are very powerful and have helped many people, including me. She was diagnosed with cancer many years ago, and she was able to heal herself with a combination of traditional medical treatment, with reflexology and other complementary therapies, and also by taking control over the kind of thoughts she was thinking and using positive affirmations. And this is very powerful stuff, don't you think? So would you be willing to try this? You don't have to write the letter to your child if doing so will be too hard for you or to your loved one. But you can begin by just writing down everything as a release. I call these letters catharsis letters because they're therapeutic in that they allow us to let out all the steam, all the pain that we have been holding inside of us. And this is the thing about grief. It eats away at our souls. It paralyzes us in life. And it affects every single area of our lives. And some people choose to squelch it inside of themselves and go on or try to go on as if nothing had happened, refusing to accept consciously that the loss has happened. And it's understandable for someone to do so because it is too painful to accept the loss. There is so much that our heart can take. However, it will destroy you if you do this. I think that to some extent, all bereaved parents do this for a little while, especially at the beginning, you know, the first year, maybe couple of years, because we're still in shock and we feel that we are in a bad dream. But if you're still, you find yourself still doing this years after your loss, then the time has come to get some help, to do something about it. And there is nothing shameful about seeking help. I myself sought help after my son died because nobody understood what I was going through. They avoided talking about or even mentioning my son for fear that it would cause more pain to me. But you know something? What I needed the most, and this may resonate with you, but what I needed the most was for the name of my son to be mentioned, for his life to be validated, because he had existed and his life had mattered and he had left a beautiful legacy of love. So can you relate to this? I think that you can. Now, something else I would like for you to keep in mind is that even though the grief that I have experienced has been due to the loss of my son, the lessons and the practices that I talk about in this show are applicable to all types of losses because grief is grief. So if you have lost a partner, parent, have miscarried a child, lost a child that you have been hoping to adopt, or even if the death was not natural, a self-inflicted, accidental, or due to a murder, what I talk about here can help you. So today, let's go back and talking about the mind and how the thoughts that we entertain on a day-to-day basis affects and influences how we feel. You know, initially we all just need to talk, to cry, to wallow in our grief. And we can't stop thinking about the person that we have lost. And this is very natural. But the truth of the matter is that our loss has traumatized us. It has left us in shock, and it has deeply hurt our heart to the point where we have such a difficult time functioning in our day-to-day lives. I remember days when I had to get out of bed. I had to feed my children. I had to take them to school. I had to go to school. I had to pay the bills, but it took so much out of me to just do it, to just force myself to do it. I was so depleted. So we have such a hard time functioning in our day-to-day lives. And we also have a hard time feeling connected to the world. Because some of it is probably due because we are trying to protect ourselves by unplugging from the world that caused our pain and is causing still so much pain by making so many demands on us when we can't. We just feel that we can't do it. Don't you think? I bet that every single one of you has a story about how more pain was piled right on top of your pain by some insensitive comment or act at a time when you couldn't deal with it because you were so vulnerable and so weak. It's unfair. It feels that life is so serious and such a loss. And no matter how the loss has happened, there is such a deep feeling of unfairness and anger sometimes, rage. I remember one of my clients, she had a friend, and she confided, she felt comfortable talking with her about everything that she was going through. And she found out recently that her daughter the doctor had told her that she didn't have long left to live. And so, of course, she was devastated. She was hopeless, and she was feeling so sad. And so she mentioned this to her friend, and she shared this with her, and she cried. And she was thinking it wasn't fair for her child to have gone through. Her child has some rare, very, very rare type of cancer. So it wasn't, the mother felt that, you know, it wasn't fair for her child to go through all of that, all the shots, all the treatments, all the procedures, all of the, you know, loss of hair, all the medications that she had to swallow in order to lose her battle. And she was worrying also about her other children, about, you know, what arrangements she had to make for her daughter if she were to die, would she have enough money. So anyway, she had all these worries and all these fears and all this sadness, you know, it was like a big, big, you know, burden in her heart. And so she was thinking all this and she was feeling very, very down and depressed. Because it is very difficult for anyone who has not been faced for these types of questions, concerns, and situations to even begin to understand people like us, right? So wouldn't you know it that on one of those days when my client was feeling very, very down, her friend, in whom she can confide it, everything that she was going through, called her in tears to tell her that she didn't know what she was going to do because she had just found out that her child needed braces. And she was worried about how this would affect her daughter's self-esteem and whether she would be teased in school. And this friend of hers went on and on and on. My client could not believe her ears, and she just felt so upset because it felt to her that it was so insensitive for her friend to try to gain sympathy and support from her at a time when she was just totally unable to provide it. And these are the kinds of experiences that are heart-wrenching for us parents. They make us feel alienated from the rest of humanity at a time when we need more than ever to feel connected. Have you had a similar experience? You probably have. But you know, during all these years, it's been 20 years since my loss, what I have come to realize, and this has taken years for me to realize this, is that the reality of life is that we're all doing our best to keep it together and to survive on a day-to-day basis. And we truly cannot expect others to be able to put themselves in our shoes and to understand that our world has crumbled before our eyes, that we don't need anybody to make any work from us because we're utterly depleted and unable to do so. And this is how I feel. We have earned the right to be out of commission on the support providing and listening ear department. So don't hesitate to let others know that you're not available or able to support them with their problems at this time. Don't you agree? This is a good idea. This is something that that will be very, very helpful to you. And this is not a time to worry about hurting somebody else's feelings. This is a time for you to take care of you. Okay? So just listening to me, you are probably thinking, well, how can we not be hounded by negative and painful thoughts all day long when we have entered such a sad state because of our grief, because our loss is so tremendous? Well, I'm not saying that we should stop thinking sad and negative thoughts. No. Or that we should force ourselves to stop thinking those thoughts. No. What I'm saying is that we need to bring awareness to the fact that certain particular trends of thought trigger our moments of emotional breakdown, and that once we become aware of what those thoughts are, we can do something to help ourselves out of it. And I have already talked about the catharsis letters, that they can be just like a way to release our feelings. And we can do this many, many times, for years if necessary, to release it, because we have a lot inside of us, lots of feelings, and then burning them after each wave of grief. What is good about doing this is that you have a safe way to release your feelings and to begin to feel better from moment to moment. But another good thing is that you may choose to address those letters to your child. And if you do so, you will have found a way to keep the connection with your child alive. And that is beautiful. That's a step. Because, you know, we miss our child so much. That is what keeps us suffering. Because we can't comprehend not having our child with us any longer, not being able to hold our child, to take our child to school, you know, to laugh with them, to, you know, to share our lives with them. It is the most difficult thing that we deal with. But if we start taking steps to try to find a way to connect with our child, because our child is gone physically, but our child and our child's love is still here with us. And especially if we're suffering, our child wants for us to find a way to connect so that in some way they can let us know, our children, that they're okay, and they can send messages to us that can kind of bring comfort to our eyes, to our hearts, because we realize, you know, there is a way for us to be in touch. It may not be the way that I want to or need to, because I need tangible things. I need to actually hold, feel the hug, kiss, you know, feed my child. But at least there is a way to communicate in some way. And in that way, when we do make that connection, we can begin to experience some healing in our hearts. And your child is longing to connect with you through those messages that I've been talking about. So when we do make a conscious effort to connect with our children, they flock to the opportunity. Their spirit flocks to the opportunity to let us know that they're okay and that they still love us. And they want to help heal our hearts enough so that we can begin to live again. Because our child is living again in a different way, not in the body, but our child in the realm that our child is, that our child's soul and spirit is living again, a different sort of life, a spiritual life. And so why can't we? That's probably what our children are wondering. Why can't we resume our lives? It doesn't have to be the same way that it was before. We actually will be experiencing and will be resuming our lives, but not in the same channel, I would say. In a different channel, because we have been so profoundly changed. We are not the same people that we were before our loss. Every single one of us has been profoundly changed. So when we continue on in life, it's in a different path. And that path may be that we decide to stop working as hard as we're working and to smell the roses more, or that we decide to express our love in the moment that we feel it, instead of saying, well, the next time I see him or the next time I see her, I'll tell her, no, in the moment that you think about it, pick up the phone if they're not there and say, I love you. You mean a lot to me. Remember when you did that for me? That saved me from that day. It just made my day. It could be that those are some of the changes that you're experiencing, or you have decided that life is too short to be holding grudges. And so then you start the process, the slow process of forgiving some of the people that you were holding grudges against. And in that way, heal your heart even more. Or it could be that you were not outspoken before, that you were someone that was a pleaser, that didn't want to make waves. But now you are like, forget about that. I'm just going to say my piece. And if people don't like it, well, they can leave. It could be that you haven't changed in such a way that you have become empowered and you have realized life needs to be lived in an intense manner. You know, I can't be sleepwalking through my life. It could be that you realize that you were sleepwalking before, just going through the motions, just, you know, getting up, eating breakfast, taking your kids to school, going to work, picking up the kids, making dinner, watching some TV, going to bed the next day over and over again. So life was leaving you. Could be that you realize, no, I'm going to live my life now. I'm going to be completely connected, and I'm going to be outspoken, and I'm going to be strong. Anyways, these are just some examples. But the truth of the matter is that we all are profoundly changed, and our lives have changed as a result of it, and we'll take a different path. Okay? So I invite you, when I tell you that about the children and about how our children want us to heal our hearts enough so that we can begin to live again, do you believe this? You don't have to believe it from me. I invite you to embark on your own journey of healing, with the first step being to bring awareness to what your thoughts are when you're feeling at your lowest, writing a letter addressed to the universe, to anybody, to your child, to your loved one, so that you can release your heart from everything that is burdening it at the moment, and then burn it as a symbolic way to let all those burdens and feelings go, just little by little. They're not gone just in one time that you do this. This is a cumulative. It has a cumulative effect with months of doing this, sometimes with even more than a year of doing this. You begin to feel that your heart is lighter. You begin to feel that your heart is healing. So it is not by suppressing the feelings that give us the most pain that we heal. No, it's by feeling all of our feelings every time that they happen so that you can take steps to release them that we heal. We do need to move through the dark tunnel of our grief in order to begin to see the first glimmers of light. But I do have to recognize the fact that that's not easy. It's not easy for us to allow ourselves to feel our feelings. They are overwhelmingly painful. So you don't have to feel them all at once, but just one feeling at a time. Allow it, release it, and keep on going. Just don't despair. Be kind to yourself. Just try it. If you're not able to, that's okay. Wait a while. Try it again later. The most important thing is to be kind to ourselves. Like, you're taking baby steps. And so try a little baby step. Is it not time yet? Go back. Try again until the right time has arrived. So we want to get through the dark tunnel of our grief in order to begin to see the first glimmers of light. And we want to get to that light. It's the light that will lead us to feel a little bit better. by expressing and releasing our feelings, which is what we have been talking about. But later, it can lead us to nurture our relationship with our child who died, with our loved one who died, and to open the door to learning to listen and trust in our intuition. Okay, so that our intuition is the opposite of our mind. Our mind is rational and is kind of obsessive in the thinking, and it fills us with fear. When we are in a state of grief, we can master our minds by being aware, by shining the light of awareness to where our thoughts are, releasing them little by little, and then also do something with these thoughts, okay? And I'm going to talk a little bit more about what we can do about those. But so I was talking about the intuition that later on, like first we start with what we're talking about today, the letters, releasing feelings one by one, only when you're ready to. Later on, you can use those letters to nurture your relationship with your child. Later on, you can begin to open the door to learning to listen and trust in your intuition. That will help you let go of the control the mind has over you and will help you connect with a huge support system of God, the angels, the universe, a higher power, however you define this loving force. And they can lead us. They can help us find out what we're supposed to do next in life. Okay? And I'm here to tell you that all of these things are possible, but they're just something that you do a little bit at a time with kindness to ourselves and with kindness to our hearts. Because we all know, all of us who have lost a loved one, we know that when that person died, it felt as if a bomb had exploded right in the middle of our lives. And we were left with only pieces that we don't know how to pick up and put together again. We're just completely lost, disoriented, confused, heartbroken. So the thing is, we can't seem to be able to put the pieces of our life back together. Humpty Dumpty cannot be put back together again because Humpty Dumpty has been changed immensely as a result of the loss. So what it takes for us to realize in which ways we have changed. So not only do we need to start thinking about our feelings and what are we thinking, but later on in this process that I'm going to continue to be talking about, you know, in this show, we can also begin to realize in which ways have we changed. Because we need to figure that out first. How have we changed? So that then we can reassemble ourselves anew, so that we can begin to take steps in that path, that new path, that different path that we're going to be taking as a result of our loss. So what do you think of this? Does this touch a chord within you? I surmise that many of you have felt this way. You have asked yourself, how am I supposed to go on? I have lost my compass in life, my child, my husband, my friend, my sister, and the list goes on and on. And the truth is that we might not want to go on without them, right? We might not want to. There's probably times in our lives, you know, during the first years when we just don't want to. I'm telling you that there is a way, though, to pick up the pieces of your life. And it begins with everything that I've been talking about. Examining your thoughts, see what feelings you're having, finding an outlet for those feelings so that then your heart can begin to heal again. But what can we do after that? Because that's not enough, okay? That's the first thing that we can do. What can we do after that? Then we can begin to consciously decide to dwell on the good memories that we have of our time with our loved ones, rather than on the sad ones. We can switch it, but only do this. Let's only do this after we have released our feelings first, on paper or verbally, by having a conversation, you know, with your loved one, with a friend, a family member, God, a therapist, a church member. But you can, once you become aware, this is what is happening. For example, and I'll share with you, like one of the most prevalent feelings that I was having after the death of my son was, well, there were two recognitions, but the first feeling I realized was a feeling of guilt. And the guilt came from the fact that I wanted to be perfect for my child. And my mind, rather than dwelling on the million of times that I was like perfect for my son, that I just was just so, you know, selflessly giving of myself, was there for him, loved him, and you know, did everything for him, they would dwell on the two times when I didn't do something for him. Because why? Because I'm human, because I'm not perfect. And I would just obsessively dwell on that, and that was making me feel so guilty. And when I realized that, then I was able to just, when I was, those thoughts were coming that were torturing me, I was just to torture for one time that he had asked me to go upstairs to watch him play video games. And I told him, you know, let me do the dishes first. And then I forgot to go. I mean, something like that was torturing me when my heart was broken. That's the last thing that I needed. That's the last thing that you need if you're also doing this. But we cannot do anything about it. We cannot stop ourselves from torturing ourselves if we don't shine the light of awareness. We don't realize, wow, this is what I'm doing to myself. I need to stop doing this. This isn't fair even to me. I have been the best mother that I could possibly be. So why am I obsessing over this one thing? So that's why I'm bringing this up to you. The other thing that I felt, and actually not just me, lots of my clients, you know, particularly the mothers, I felt really guilty about has been the fact that their child had passed away and they weren't there. It could have been through an accident. It could have been through an illness. You know, they may have been right there, you know, at the bedside, but the moment that they got up,
they got
in the kitchen. Yes. Are you there? Okay, the moment that they got up to go to the kitchen and get a glass of water or a cup of coffee, their child died. And the guilt that they feel for not having been there, for somehow failing their child, has been just like unbearable. And I'll share with you that my child died in the hospital, and I was up in the chapel just praying when a nurse came in to tell me that he had taken his last breath. And for the first 2 to 3 years, I felt so guilty, and I felt that I had failed him because I wasn't there in that moment. And until I realized, and I started during my years working in hospice, in the pediatric hospice as a social worker, I realized that children, adults, anyone who is dying, there is an element of will that comes into play when someone dies, that they are protective, you know, until the end. And this is when someone is dying a natural death. They're protective up until the very end. And they may or may not choose to leave this world with you being present or not. They may be protecting you, your heart. My son knew that I couldn't bear that last image of him taking his last breath, and he protected me. But it took me years to realize and to connect with this. Later on in my work in hospice, I saw this happen time and time and time again. I also saw adults at some periods of during my work in hospice, and I remember clearly this elderly gentleman who said to me, I want to be alone when I die. And I thought to myself, that's never going to happen because he's always surrounded by his two sons and his wife. And always they would not leave him alone. But one day there was a commotion outside of the house. There was like a car accident, and the wife and the sons went to the front door, to the front window to see, and in that moment he took his last breath. So I know that this is this is truly what happened. So unnecessarily, in my case, I just had all this guilt. This is a time for us to be kind to ourselves and to put into perspective those feelings, you know, whether it is guilt, whether it's anger. We have a right to feel those. There's nothing wrong with any feeling that you're feeling, okay? There is nothing wrong. But when we do begin to feel these feelings and we begin to choose to dwell on good memories, what happens when we choose to do this is that we retrain our brains to want to turn to the positive after we have been dwelling on the negative, but after we have released those feelings, after we have just kind of like vented it, then if we start thinking of the good memories rather than the bad ones, then we are retraining our brain to want to do that naturally every time that we are feeling that we are in that depth of our grief. And we need all the help that we can when we're grieving. So wouldn't you say so? Doesn't it feel as if you are stuck in quicksand and you are not able to get out of it, no matter how hard you try to feel better? Because that is how it feels. It feels like you're spinning your wheels and nothing is going to ever help you. Now, one of the things that makes all of this harder is the fact that at some level, subconsciously, we may not want to get out of that quicksand because we may think that if we do, we will forget our child or a loved one, or that others will forget, or that picking up the pieces of our lives may not serve the memory of our child or our loved ones well. So these may be thoughts, some of the thoughts that we have swirling around in our subconscious mind, so we're not aware of them. And those subconscious thoughts may be blocking us from taking active steps towards healing. But what is one of the things that we can do, just as like a little tip, one of the things that we can do to unblock us if we are having these subconscious kind of thoughts, you know, that, you know, maybe we need to stay like this because we don't want to forget our child, or, you know, or that, you know, other people may forget. So one of the things that we can do is remember how earlier I mentioned Louise Hay, and she was the pioneer of the affirmations. So what are affirmations? Affirmations are sentences that are aimed to produce an effect in our conscious and subconscious mind. So the words, and we can create our own. So the words that we affirm can inspire, can energize, and can motivate us. So we can come up with our own sentences that we can repeat throughout the day to help get us out of the bumpy, the hard times. For example, when we're feeling very depressed and immobilized by our grief, we can repeat to ourselves, you know, I am slowly but surely taking active steps to feel better. So we can create our own inspiring and motivating sentences and use them for our own healing. And this truly works. You can go, you can Google, you know, affirmations, positive affirmations, and you can get ideas as to what will work the best for you to help you throughout the day. This worked for me, and it has worked for many others. So let's talk a little bit about what happens to us, to our lives, if we do not do something to be able to function better and to feel better. Because as you know, grief affects all areas of our lives. It affects our personal well-being, our romantic, familial, and professional relationships. It affects the level at which we are present for our children. And because of all of these that I just mentioned, it has the potential of wreaking chaos in our lives. So it's very important to take baby steps at first towards feeling better. And I say baby steps because, you know, like I have mentioned before, it takes tremendous effort for us when we're grieving to do anything. So we don't have any energy. And, you know, feeling getting out of bed is just such a deep, takes so much out of us. And we're exhausted all the time. And we want the world with all of its responsibilities to just stop. Okay? So we need to be loving towards ourselves, loving towards our bodies and their limitations while grieving. Loving towards our minds and the thoughts that we hold, towards our emotions and feelings, because we have the right to feel what we feel when we feel it. So one baby step at a time, without forcing anything, is still a movement forward. So give yourself a pat on the back when you do take time to look closely at your thoughts and their effects on your feelings. When you do decide to write a catharsis letter and burn it, and when you do decide to consciously switch your thoughts towards positive memory with your child when you're feeling sad and in despair, or when you start to use positive affirmations throughout your day. And I realized myself, and I talked about this with some of my clients, that we are, and particularly women, we are so hard on ourselves. We ask so much of ourselves. So during this time, while we're grieving, it is so important for us to just be kind to ourselves. And that includes any of these things that I'm talking about. If you're not ready for them, if it takes too much out of you, don't force yourself to do them. Just put them aside and try them later, okay? Now, there's something I want to mention about our feelings. You know, sometimes I get this mental image of a volcano, which appears, it may appear, very tranquil on the outside, but has a fiery, raging core of hot lava inside, just waiting to erupt. When we're grieving, we are trying to function while dealing with lots of different feelings: anger, rage, guilt, hurt, disappointment, frustration, confusion, intense sadness, to name a few. And all of those feelings are valid. They're valid because nobody can discount our feelings. They're ours. And there is no need for us to judge ourselves for the way we feel. What is important is for us to find a healthy way to express them and to come to terms with them so that they can slowly diminish, and in that way, some measure of peace. Just even a tiny little ray of peace can enter our hearts. And this is no easy process, and it takes time to recognize, what to sift through the different types of feelings that we're having, to acknowledge them and to express them, and eventually to let them go. So if you feel, all of you who are listening to this show this morning, if you feel that any of these suggestions will be helpful to you, go ahead and try them and see if they have a positive effect on you and on your grief. Because any small improvement will be better than doing nothing about it, don't you think? I have a client whose child died a little over a year ago, and he had been struggling immensely with life. You know, he felt that everything that could go wrong was happening to him and his family. He had a lot of anxiety and feelings of guilt and anger towards his extended family, and especially towards God. And I have taken care of, you know, so many clients that have these particular two feelings of anger towards their extended family and how they have behaved, and towards God. And so he contacted me, and he said that he's ready to stop resisting the reality that his child was not going to come back, and that he decided he was ready to start taking active steps to release his feelings and to connect with his child's love for him. And so he started to write these letters, and most importantly, he felt that the most therapeutic thing for him was, he wasn't much of a writer, so he tried writing the letters. But what helped him the most was that he started going to the cemetery and visiting his daughter's grave, and to have lengthy conversations with his child while venting his feelings and his worries and asking for assistance. And he felt it was, every time after doing that, he felt that it was so therapeutic for him that his heart felt so much lighter. And so then he also started consciously, whenever he would, you know, start going down the path of the painful memories, he would start consciously choosing positive, happy, loving memories of his child. And he feels now that he has regained some control over his mind and that this is bringing peace to him. I wanted to share this with you because this could happen to you as well if you are ready, if you feel that it isn't too much for you to take on. Okay? You can do this too. But only when you're ready and only you know when that is. So some of you know, or as Courtney said when she introduced me, that I'm also an angel intuitive. So today, I would like to leave you with a message from the angels to help you when you're struggling during the week. So I'll share with you that connecting with the angels was a lifesaver for me. Shortly after my son died, as I was struggling with deep grief, and I was a single parent. I mean, I divorced the father of my children a few months after Christopher died. So I was dealing with a lot of this, and I was doing a lot of things, a lot of stresses and a lot of fears, and I was alone. And I was also, you know, trying to take care of my other two young children as they were grieving. So while I was doing all, going through all of this and feeling like really like overwhelmed, I was guided to my first deck of angel cards. And these cards helped me so much as I asked for guidance regarding important decisions, relationship issues, and especially as I tried to navigate a world that had become a fearful and unsafe place for me after the loss. Because, you know, what happens to us is that when our child died, it's as if the rug was pulled from under us. And we're left feeling so completely unsafe. If something so terrible could happen to our child, what could happen next? Our sense of security is gone. So I feel the way I look at it is like, you know, like angels for anxiety. Angels can really, really help decrease anxiety when connecting with them. Can really, and they are more than willing to help us if we just ask for their assistance. So the messages that the angels give, because their vibration is so pure, their messages are always positive, they're always supportive, and they're always encouraging. And as time has gone by in my own journey of grief, at 21 years, it'll be actually 22 years next month, my connection with the angels has only gotten stronger. So this is the reason that I want to bring some of the comfort that I receive from the angels' presence in my life to your lives as well, so that you can also begin to connect with them, to help them connect with your intuition, and to help them guide you in life, okay? So I pulled a card from a deck called Messages from Your Angels, and the angel, the message for you that you can keep in your heart, you know, during this week as you're struggling with difficulties and with sadness. The message is from an angel, for Angel Crystal, and it is have faith and hope because there is something positive and new on the horizon that you can't yet see. And if you're having difficulties, ask for angelic assistance every step of the way. So what this angel brings to you, this message, it highlights just really what I found out during my grief process, that there is much more to life than what we see with our naked eyes. But we oftentimes believe that this is all that there is. And just as the angels exist in a reality much wider, much broader than we can see, and it's a reality that we cannot see, even though some people can see, some people that have that, you know, that have the capacity to see into other realms. But there are realities out there besides, beyond what we can see with our eyes. And in those realities, there are presences like the angels, and there's God that can help us. And all we need to do is ask. And that they can bring us messages like the one that Crystal brought us today, bring to you who are listening today, to have faith and hope, because there is something positive and new on the horizon that you can't yet see. I hope that as you go about this week, you keep these loving messages in your heart, and that brings you a measure of healing and a measure of hope, because it is not easy to have experienced the loss that you have experienced. It's not easy. One last thing that I wanna bring up is this: the loss of a child is traumatic. Even though it is very difficult to lose someone who dies, they have lived a long life, and that is still very, very difficult. The fact that the death of a young child happens out of time, like parents never imagine that they're going to lose their child, even though because it happens out of time, out of the normal cycle that is expected, that, you know, the children outlive their parents, it is traumatic. And so one of the things that is helpful when you're having trauma, if you find yourself that you cannot face your feelings, that you cannot deal with the reality of your loss, that you cannot write a letter to your child, if you find yourself so paralyzed that you cannot take any of these steps, even though you have tried several times to do it, because the loss of a child is traumatic, there are certain other options. There are options to help you. If you go to see a counselor, there is a therapy called EMDR. And EMDR is extremely helpful because it involves eye movement desensitization reconstruction. So it's with a certain machine that tracks your eye movements, the counselor that gives you the session is able to access your subconscious mind and then feed it positive messages that will help you with the trauma. So I just wanted to mention this modality of treatment that is available, that you can just Google EMDR therapy or practitioners in your area. And that's something that you can try if you feel that nothing at all, and even trying the things that I'm telling you right now at this moment, may be too much for you, that you just can't deal with it, okay? So I'm thinking that I want to close with just sort of a summary of the guidance that I have discussed in this show, and to summarize it: our minds become our worst enemies when we're grieving, and our minds keep us in a vicious cycle of thinking and reliving our loss and the trauma that's involved in our loss. And however, we can master or begin to take steps to master our minds by consciously bringing awareness to what we're feeling, what we're thinking, what thoughts we're having in our minds when we're feeling at our worst, and then having pen and paper on hand to write a letter and just kind of vent all those feelings, or having a conversation, just talking about what those feelings are to someone that you trust or to your child, and they're in the cemetery or in your room or to your partner, to to just release, to find a way to release them. And then you can symbolically, if you have written a letter, you can symbolically let go of those feelings. Because rituals are very, very powerful. Symbolically, you are saying, I want to release these feelings that are weighing down my heart. And then you can go a step further and not just write letters to just release, but you can also address those letters to your child. And in that way, you can connect with your child or feel that your child is around you, that the spirit of your child is around you. And you could maybe begin to realize the messages your child is feeling for you. And then the next step would be that you can also begin to, once you realize what the major feeling that you have is, then you can just say, I'm going to now, the major thoughts that you're having, I'm going to go now, and I'm going to choose to dwell on positive memories of my child. And when we do that, we retrain our brain to, whenever we're feeling down, we get in touch with our feelings, we write them down and release them to seek a positive memory of our child. And then you can take it one step further and Google positive affirmations and then to get examples of affirmations and then create your own positive affirmations so that whenever you're feeling at your lowest, you can tell yourself these messages and you can just tell your mind, basically, I choose to dwell on the positive because my heart cannot take so much negativity, so much hurt, so much pain. Okay, so this is in a nutshell, like the summary of the different steps that you can take if you are ready to feel a little bit better moment to moment as you're grieving the loss of a loved one. So if you, I just want to let you know if you have any questions for me, or if you feel moved to connect with me, you can email me at selenenegreteauthor@yahoo.com, or you can check out my website and read more about me and what I do. And my website is www.notyourusualgriefbook.com, and it also shows you ways to connect with me. The information is in that site, or you can go and visit my Facebook page at Selene Negrete Author. And I just want you to know that until next Thursday at 10 in the morning, I will be holding you in my heart. The way I see it is that there are a million of little hearts that are coming from my heart to yours with a sincere desire and intention of being a help to you. So Courtney?
Awesome. Thank you, Celine. And thank you for all the wonderful information you shared with our listeners today. If you're just tuning in, you've been listening live with Blessings with Celine. If you would like to hear this whole entire podcast or this show, please visit bodymindspiritradio.com and click on Blessings with Celine. You can also listen to her first show from last week as well. All of her contact information is on her show page. Once again, that's Blessings with Celine. And you had the opportunity to hear her discuss how our minds become our worst enemies when we are grieving and how to master the mind so that we can consciously move from feeling sad to feeling connected to our child and at peace. I welcome you to share this with friends, family, anybody you feel that this can help. And please listen live every Thursday from 10 to 11 a.m. And until next time, goodbye.